All week, we've been looking at places around the country that are successfully reducing homelessness. And they have one thing in common, a model called Housing First, where, as Martha Cagle in New Orleans told us,
you just accept them as they are and you provide the housing first. Then once they're in their apartment, you immediately wrap all the services around them that they need to stay stable.
Well, in Chicago, hospitals have joined the effort. The University of Illinois Hospital is one of a few that have started providing permanent housing for homeless patients that repeatedly show up in emergency rooms. They treat chronic homelessness as a health issue, and it appears to be working. Between November 2015, when the program began, and June 2017, the hospital saw a 21% decrease in the average monthly healthcare costs of the first patients it housed. Joining us now is Stephen Brown, who's the Director of Preventive Emergency Medicine at the University of Illinois Hospital in Chicago. Welcome.
Thank you.
And explain, first of all, what exactly you did there in Chicago that seemed to work.
So we created something called a Better Health Through Housing program. We partnered with the Center for Housing and Health, it's a subsidiary, the AIDS Foundation. They were looking to replicate some of the outcomes from a randomized control trial here that was done in the early 2000s that demonstrated the efficacy of what we call housing first. We identified chronically homeless individuals, those that are homeless continuously for over a year or who have had four episodes in the previous 3 years, and then transition them into permanent supportive housing. And then we tracked their mortality, their morbidity, and their cost and utilization.
And these people were coming into the hospital quite frequently.
Yeah, you know, they're called by a variety of monikers, frequent flyers, frequent visitors. Super utilizers is kind of the du jour title now.
And so the idea is just get them into some kind of housing and then they won't be coming into the hospital as frequently.
That's correct. Yes.
How do you do that exactly? Why would you at the hospital be the one who has to figure out, let's put this person into housing?
That's a great question. So when we started doing this, we were kind of in the blind and found our way around this. I think we didn't really have a strong justification to doing this other than it was part of our health equity mission and it was the right thing to do. But kind of backing into it after having gone through this experience, I think we've got a lot of compelling data that says that – essentially says that housing is health. That once you put someone into stable housing with a little bit of support or more support, depending on the severity of their mental illness or substance abuse, they tend to do well. And that means that they stop coming to emergency departments. So they often come for non-medical reasons. We call it secondary gain. So if someone is living unsheltered under a bridge and they have no other options because they might have been kicked out of crisis shelters, they're going to come to our emergency department and seek care. So we've now got some pretty compelling data that the solution may be cheaper than the problem.
And how much is the solution? How much does that end up costing to find housing for these people?
So for us, we pay $1,000 per member per month, a maximum of $12,000 a year. That's put together with a number of other subsidies that the Center for Housing and Health has with HUD and other grantors. If you were to look at the total cost of housing and support for an individual that would be in a housing first model, it's about fully loaded about $25,000 a year. Now, if you contrast that with some of the health, just the healthcare costs and only my healthcare costs, I'm not able to look at Medicaid claims data. We had patients that had healthcare costs that's somewhere between 2.5 to 160 times our average patient cost. One gentleman who was deceased before I ever met him had a reimbursable cost from the state of $938,000. We often joke it's probably cheaper to put him up in a hotel on North Michigan at $625 a night. An ER visit's about $1,200.
But they're still going to have whatever health issues, right, that they would have come in for in the first place, or are they simply coming in to get shelter?
It's a combination of both. Being homeless is hard on the body. You're prone to injury and violence, to frostbite. And if you have a chronic medical condition, it's only going to exacerbate it. So we found very high rates of chronic disease. We also found some individuals that were just coming for what we call secondary gain, and their healthcare costs plummeted because they had no reason to seek out shelter in the emergency departments any longer. But most of them are pretty sick.
How is the program funded?
So we did this originally through a gifting account through some philanthropic dollars in our first fiscal year. The hospital is now committed through fiscal year 2023 through our operating budget. I must say, though, you know, what we're doing is not sustainable because we're not being paid for it. Mm-hmm. But there's a much larger effort going on in Chicago through what we call the flexible housing pool that's going to make this sustainable. And we're attracting a number of insurance companies that are looking at some of the data that we're saying, and we're making a really compelling economic argument to insurance companies that it's worth the investment in housing. So there are several managed care organizations that manage Medicaid patients here that are very interested in some of the data that we have.
Well, just to be clear, if things were to go on as they were and people would come in and, you know, spend $100,000 or $900,000 on hospital bills, who's paying for that?
Ultimately, the state, because we're a Medicaid expansion state. If this were a non-Medicaid expansion state, it would be in the best economic interest of the hospital to pay for the housing of these individuals because they're losing money on these individuals. In the state of Illinois, about 85% of the homeless have some form of insurance. And we don't have the results yet. We'll have it in a month, but we're running it on this 1,200 patients that we know to be homeless. We're doing a profit and loss statement to the hospital, which I think it would be very interesting for other hospitals to look at once we're completed with the study.
What are the big challenges that remain from your point of view of how to deal with homelessness generally?
So when you start with homelessness, the thing about it is it's uber complex. It's just not about healthcare. These individuals have had significant engagement with the criminal justice system. They get picked up by EMS for chronic inebriation, or they're in psychiatric crisis. They're brought to our emergency department. Police and fire bring them up. And whenever I talk to anybody in all these different public sectors, everybody says the same things. Your people are my people. The intersectionality of these people are extraordinary. And so there are extraordinary conversations going across the city with real estate developers, banking and finance that want to be able to give us the sustainable financing we need to create permanent supportive housing for these individuals. We're talking with people in the jail. It turns out the lack of housing is a huge source of the recidivism rate here in the state of Illinois, which is about 44% after 2 years. Hmm. So it's an uber complex thing, and you just keep peeling back the onion, you find more and more. The good news is that we all kind of went from working in our silos and being very narrow in our thinking now to it's much more expansive, and people are much willing to have more collaborative conversations. And I think we're going to see some great outcomes here this year with the launch of the flexible housing pool. The other thing I should mention about the pool is once fully funded, and that's about $12 million, and if there's any corporations out there that would like to help us, give me a call. But once fully funded, it actually builds capacity. So that will create 750 new affordable housing units here in the city of Chicago. So every hospital that contributes to the pool is not only serving their narrow interests, but also the greater good. This idea of collective impact is really resonating here in Chicago.
Do you see this happening in other cities, or do you think that this model would work in other cities?
I think it will. You know, the good thing about Chicago, well, bad thing, is it's uber complex and it's big, and there's a political layer to it. But everybody's moving in the right direction. When I started this program, I was looking longingly at some mid-level cities like McLean County in Illinois, Indianapolis. They're doing great things there. But we're now sharing models across the country. L.A. County, L.A. City are doing some amazing things. In fact, we're replicating the flexible housing pool. That was their model that we're standing up here.
Hmm. What would be your number one piece of advice to other cities right now as they try to tackle homelessness?
Can't do it by yourself. You got to get everybody. Everybody's got to work together. It takes a particular kind of mindset to do this, and it's uber complicated, and it requires trust and patience among all the different stakeholders.
That is Stephen Brown, who is director of preventive emergency medicine at the University of Illinois Hospital in Chicago, which is treating chronic homelessness as a health issue. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll wrap up our series tomorrow with a look at how Atlanta has reduced homelessness by 30% in the past 3 years and how the city is trying to innovate ways to help homeless LGBTQ young adults. You can find our entire series at hereandnow.org. And a program note, since we were just talking about Chicago, I will be broadcasting from WBEZ in Chicago next Wednesday and Thursday. Lots to cover, including the mayor's race. Be sure to tune in.